Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR Podcast, brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com. Let's talk about Kansas in the Cup Series. But first, go to RaceForThePrize.com. Join us. Get the sheets. I'm going to save you time. I'm going to save you money. I'm going to make it easy. All the data that you're about to see, you can get at the sheets. Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, $30 over to me, and I'll share it to you. Kansas, Darlington, North Wilkesboro, Charlotte. What a month of fantasy racing. That's not even talking about indie stuff going on, the Kentucky Derby going on. What a month. Let's have a blast. We're having a blast here. Speaking of having good times, one of us won the Xfinity Dover race. Congratulations, one of us. One of us. Join it, man. I love having you guys here. All right, Kansas, actionable content. Enough with the victory lap. What's some information that we can use to make better picks at Kansas, win some more money? All right, here's what we want to do with our actionable content. We'll talk Kansas, and I'll talk a little bit Dover a little bit later, and also make sure that that information helps you with your picks. But first, who are we targeting? If drivers are fast in Texas and Dover, now I know Texas and Dover are not very similar intermediate tracks to Kansas, true, but if you're setting up fast, if your team and driver are simpatico, everything is locking and loading, then more than likely you're going to unload fast and be good at Kansas. We'll throw in some other variables as well to try to differentiate between who will be faster than others. There's going to be other factors that we will talk about, but I am looking at Texas. I am looking at Dover, despite those being different intermediate tracks. You can also zoom a little bit back further to Las Vegas. Although that was almost a distant memory at the, you know, given how long the season's been already. But if we were looking for track comparisons, Las Vegas would compare much closer to the style of racing at Kansas. Some people like to compare the two. Some people are going to bring up tire wear. I'm not going to be that much of a stickler. We're pulling enough data from Las Vegas, Texas, Dover, Kansas, 2023, that it's not really going to skew things too much if you look at Las Vegas. Now, if you only looked at Las Vegas, then sure, you could have some problems. But typically, the drivers that are fast there are going to be fast, and that's going to help us narrow in on our elite dominators, although I don't expect a dominator at Kansas, given the style of racing. Hogs, mainly, would be the more fitting term, a driver that leads a portion of the race and runs fast laps. I just don't see one person running away. We will have one driver who does lead more laps than anyone else, but it is not a racetrack where you're really going to be able to be in control the entire time, given the nature of the restarts. Now, once you get out in clean air, you're in clean air. It doesn't mean you're a dominator. It just means you're in clean air. We've seen that at all the intermediate tracks. Your car is probably not the fastest car on the track. I mean, although you are getting the fastest laps, but to argue that you're the best, well, you are in clean air. And clean air is king, as we have seen. And that's fine. That's just the nature of racing. And we'll just deal with that. So the first thing that I would look at is simply, and you can look at raw results from Kansas, or we can go a little bit more finely tuned and use the sheet to look at what the drivers have done in terms of their driver rating. I think it's a better option. And we'll see that over since 2020, we'll go to the fall race of 2020 up to 2023. And look at our Kansas ratings, and you'll see that Kyle Larson, his average driver rating at Kansas is third, number one. Denny Hamlin, average driver rating of fifth, number two on our board, top-rated driver in both Kansas races last year. You'll remember he wrecks Kyle Larson at the end of the 2023 spring race. Did he bump him? Did he get him air loose? Put Larson in the wall at the end. He was faster than Larson, was able to run him down, and his only option was really to run him over. Hey, the Hamlin-Larson rivalry, that could be quite a thing that we talk about for years. Chase Elliott right there, and also Chase Elliott trending in the right direction at the moment. I was able to pass Larson a couple times, and that fall race looked pretty good. Byron, Bell towards the top of the board. Bell's been really snake-bitten lately. When is he going to turn it around? Well, it's going to first start with maybe getting better starting position, not constantly having to deal with the pack. You know, we want to say, oh, Bell's got bad luck. Well, he's putting himself constantly in position to have bad luck. Eventually, maybe he won't. Either way, he's been good here. Tyler Reddick has been good here. We'll talk more about 23-11 in a second. Reddick, second highest driver last year, kind of steals a win. But as we'll see when we talk about the Truck Series, this is a place to steal wins. Blaney, not really surprised to see him towards the top. Ross Chastain, track. Did I say Trackhouse for Tyler Reddick? I meant 23-11. Trackhouse has had some decent speed. As we go down, really no surprises. There's Bubba with a eighth highest driver rating last year, but he had some issues in the fall race. Fourth, second in the races before that. Kozlowski had a really strong fall race after a poor spring race, and it makes sense because we remember that RFK had really started to turn things on late spring, early summer, and they carried that speed into the fall, but speed seems to have fallen off this season. So that's a quick way to look at the ratings, and then we could also look over and see what was their DFS rank to make it more actionable. Okay, well, they were fast, but did they score fantasy points? Well, yeah, look at Kyle Larson. Last six races, top five DFS score. Three of those times he scored the most fantasy points. Denny Hamlin, top five DFS score in the last four, all in the next gen. Seems like Larson and Hamlin are going to be very popular plays if you are leaning on Kansas track history. And I don't see why you wouldn't want to give that a boost. Elliott's there. Another Hendrick car with a fast setup. Another Hendrick car with a fast setup. That's telling me right here. I mean, obviously, they'll have the complete context, but one would assume Hendrick cars tend to start closer to the front. So if they are scoring in the top 10 in DFS, it can't just be by finishing position alone. Obviously, that is part of it, but they are also earning fast laps. They are also leading laps. We've got another JGR car here, and really no surprises there. So you can use that data. Second thing that I would look at, besides looking at rating rank and DFS, we'll go over to some Dietrich data and look at, well, what did they do at Kansas and Las Vegas last year? And if we took the Kansas races and the Las Vegas races, again, to each their own, oh, I don't think that's a good comparison. Look, this is just data set two. We will probably go through 10, 15 different variables by the time we make picks. These are things to play around with, have fun with, to look at throughout the week to try to get an idea of who might have speed. And in the end, you may take some of this early week data, downgrade it, and look a little bit more at practice data. It's going to be completely up to you. You may look more at pit stop data. You're going to have to factor in how you want to weigh it. I'm going to present all the information to you. I'm going to give you all the information at racefortheprize.com, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. And then you can make decisions on the data, watch the videos, make the picks that you like. Differentiate from the herd. Even within our own herd, differentiate between our community. Larson, number one, if we look at Las Vegas and Kansas races from last year, 0.96 Dietrich data rating. Again, it's a lap-by-lap calculation, similar to driver rating, but I believe a little bit more finely tuned. And it's on a 0 to 100 scale. Larson, Hamlin, no surprise. Byron's up there. Ross Chastain, checking the box. And one of the things that helps Chastain is, if you remember his 2023 season, really peaked at Nashville. And then he had that real summer drought. But then he came back to life later in the season. So having these bookend races, Vegas and Kansas earlier, and then Kansas and Las Vegas later, I guess it helps his statistics a little bit, and he is not skewed by his slump. Reddick, not really surprised to see him be fast again, 23-11 fast. Sometimes I think he's an underrated driver. Bell, Blaney, Kozlowski. Look at Kozlowski at the end of the season. Look at how solid they are. RFK really figured some stuff out, which also is a bit of a head-scratcher because right now they're kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum. They are struggling to find speed at the moment. Man, they had everything figured out last year, and they came in this year looking okay. Obviously, some changes. maybe mix some things up. But again, this could be the moment where they really start to get back into their groove, having not to deal with random tracks every single week. I mean, you look at the beginning of this season, we had a new short track package. We got road courses. We got plate races. Now, as we get into the more steady eddy intermediate track part of the season, similar to last year, it's when RFK found speed. Maybe that's the direction they're heading in. But our first two tests of that, Texas and Dover, did not look good for them. I mean, it's just not been really good weekends, period. Their practice sessions are not working out. The way that they approach practice is not working out. The races are not working out. Oh, boy. Wallace, Truex, we would expect to be a little bit higher. But again, he got into an issue, I think, early in the Kansas race. I have to look at the data and see what exactly the mistake that he made was. We have so many tire rubs. We have so many spins. The spring race last year was Spin City. And then you had plenty enough tire rubs in the fall race as well, which then leads to restart madness. And so it goes. So that's the next thing you could look at. And then also, if we were to cross-reference Larson last year, checks the boxes of our KLV, Kansas and Las Vegas. What about this year? Yeah, those are some pretty good results. And that Texas number should be higher, barring the issues that he ran into. Hamlin, clearly a monster at the moment. I've said this on the podcast before. Even if we throw out the data, and sometimes his practice speeds are not that great, we talk about the smartest driver probably in the history of NASCAR, the guy that just figures things out, works with his team, knows what to do, when to do it, knows how to lead his team, and make adjustments throughout the race. Find me a better adjuster. Find me a driver that gets better during the race. I don't know one. Who improves his car throughout the course of a race better than Denny Hamlin? And we see that every single week now, where he's there, he looks good, and then all of a sudden, look up, he won again. Byron sometimes is a little bit the opposite of where if someone's going to fade out, kind of Byron. Chastain's up there. Reddick, definitely going to be high on the board once again. And this is a week where I can start to go a little bit back more towards Blaney. Blaney had another good Dover run. Dover was a track that was never really his best track, really had his breakthrough last fall. I know Dover is not, or last year, not really the best comparison, but it is good to see that the Penske, at least his Penske ride, has speed. We go back to a more traditional intermediate track, and Blaney's going to be back firmly on the board for us. As you can see, Keselowski, we've got some issues. And that .76 is definitely, I don't think it's a true representation. Actually, it is. He had about 15th place race car. He got a second place finish, but we expect more, or well, you're going to need more. Now, although they are lacking speed, this race is going to provide plenty of opportunities for Brad Keselowski once again to smoke and mirrors his way up to a top five. So that's definitely going to be on the board. And we can't write people off because, oh, he's been struggling. We can't write people off because they didn't have the practice speed. There are 270-some laps in this race. 260 of them will matter for our elite hogs and dominators. Yeah, we need the whole race to be good if we're picking a Hamlin or a or a Larson. But if we get a Brad Keselowski who can be $2,000, $3,000 cheaper, packs in place differential that can be earned in a lap or two, right? So for Larson and Hamlin to score points, they've got to do it by running lap after lap after lap. Whereas a driver like Brad Keselowski or Chris Buescher, who are significantly cheaper, who don't have to score as many points, but also one of the key things of place differential is that you can score those points in five laps. You can make up that time or make up those points at the very end. You can go from a dead-in-the-water pick in 250, and then 20 laps later, the guy was optimal. Larson and Hamlin and Byron, they can't afford to do that. They have to be better longer. They have to accrue their fantasy points throughout the entire race by leading laps and running fast laps. The benefit of these 8K drivers who are fast enough to be in the top tier, they can jump up. Now, at the same time, they could drop down really quickly as well. They're highly volatile. I mean, everyone is volatile in that extent, to that extent, but too long didn't read. Despite RFK's struggles recently, Buescher and Kozlowski are firmly in play. And they're more than likely not going to qualify well because they haven't been qualifying well because they haven't been practicing well. So they're going to sit there right there in that teens spot. And then we get the cautions at the end. And it comes down to who's been better on restarts. And Brad Kozlowski is a pretty good driver when it comes to restarts. So if anyone stands to gain, he's definitely going to be in play. So you don't want to overreact too much to their lack of speed. Because I know the idea is like, great, they haven't been fast. One more, it's just easier if I can just cross people off, less people would have to think about. This is not really going to be that weak. Kansas's style of racing is not going to afford you that luxury of just, yep, I can cross him off because he doesn't have speed. Not so fast, my friend. This is going to be a week where a lot of the drivers are going to be on the board. All right, next thing. Let's just talk about Kansas in general. And what would be the best way to illustrate this on the screen? Oh, I don't know. We'll just put last year's Kansas Optimal on real quick. But the style at Kansas, typical intermediate track, very wide. The restarts, you think, oh, well, there's tons of room on a restart, so we're good. Well, the drivers know there's tons of room and tons of speed on the restarts, and so they fill out every line. Four wide, five wide. You're going to get tire rubs on restarts. You could get a wreck that takes out several drivers. I don't see that being that likely. You could once race, maybe, but either way, you really need to get out in clean air. And when we go four or five abreast, the driver that's leading is not always necessarily a shoe-in to win the restart. Anyone could pop up after a side draft, a third car in the mix could slide by, take the lead, and then lead for that cycle. So, and I think the best way to illustrate that is to look at the 23 spring race and look at all the different lap leaders. I mean, so many different people led laps in that race. Now, there was a couple that led the most, but there was plenty of opportunities for people to slide up front and lead laps, pick up some fast laps in the process, as you can see. The restarts are hairy. Gets even hairier in the back. There can be all kinds of different issues that play out. It's a wide track. Now, once it goes green, it's fairly calm. But the problem then is because it's a wide track with banking that people love to run up near the wall to find that extra bit of speed. When you run up near the wall to extra speed, you get into the wall, you get tire rubs, you get cautions. So you get cautions, which reset the field, which means more restarts, which means more madness. Also keeps people on the lead lap, but it also takes cars out because they got a tire rub. Some will rebound if they don't get into the wall too much, completely tear the tire, getting their way back. By the way, you expect plenty of cautions. Now, the next layer of that, because again, we're looking for actionable data. We know there will be cautions, field resets, restarts, not necessarily one guy who runs away with the race. So we're thinking about all those things while we're trying to target our hogs. We're also thinking about those things as we're trying to pick our value picks as well. But then another idea is that a lot of the sorting out, while they can sort themselves out on the track, on the restarts, and during a green flag run, as we know, cream will rise to the top. It will be difficult for most to make it through dirty air. This car hates dirty air. This car hates traffic. But as we've seen in the past, if you have an elite ride like last week with Chase Elliott at Dover, you can make your way forward. Kyle Larson was able to make his way forward. Ross Chastain modestly made some gains. But it's not for everyone. Can't imagine, you know, a Todd Gilliland driving through the field at Kansas. So you're going to need clean air. But the point, well, kind of getting off on that one. Let's just go back to cautions, pit road. So you can make gains during a green flag run. But a better place to make gains is going to be on pit road. So we're going to want to look at pit road data. I will go over that specifically in another podcast. We'll look at Dover probably the most. Texas is kind of challenging to look at the pit road data because of all the crazy wonkiness of that race. You can look at it if you want. I've got it in the Kansas folder. If you've got the Race for the Prize package, a Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, $30, and you want to look at every little piece of data from the pit stops at Dover, from the pit stops at Texas, I got it for you. And we'll go over that in another podcast, at least Dover. But if you want to go through it and finally tune it with your comb, join us. But making gains on pit road, as we have seen in previous races, is, you know, determining our winners, is determining the outcomes. Kyle Busch had a terrific day last week at Dover and ends up having a solid fantasy day. Finishes up front. If you go back to Texas, I know the day didn't work out for Kyle Larson, but if you look at his pit stops, having the number one pit stall was an incredible boost. Should be a boost again here at Kansas. Having the number one pit stall, it's not always going to be the best thing because some people are going to stay out sometimes. Some people are going to take two tires. And again, the mad dash on a restart maybe makes that number one pit stall not as beneficial. You're going to be the fastest coming off. You're going to probably gain positions every time, but it's no guarantee that you're going to run away with the race. As we have seen, there's not one giant monster 120 fantasy point score. Probably have to go back a while to find a Dover or a Kansas race where one guy completely just shows up the field. Kurt Busch had a pretty solid one there in the spring. As you can see, we're seeing multiple drivers leading, running fast laps. Kyle Larson putting on a clinic back in the spring of 2021. It's a different car, possibly a different time. No practice. Harder to read into that. I wouldn't lean too much. I really think we're going to see this thing spread out, fan out, and the lead's going to shift hands plenty of times. But it's not going to be too much of a surprise. The drivers that are leading are running fast laps. We want to try to narrow our pool down a little bit. Anyway, again, to summarize, restart's crazy. We're going to see different leaders. It means multiple hogs or dominators. You're going to more than likely need 2 to 3 in your lineup. But I wouldn't really worry too much because those 2 to 3 are going to be drivers that we expect. It's going to be the usual suspects that are running in the top 5. Again, maybe don't make it so hard on yourself when trying to predict who's going to lead. Maybe just try to predict who will be in the top 5 the most. And then if you have those drivers that you really believe can stay in the top 5 all day, pick 2 or 3 of those drivers and put them into your lineup. Hopefully you pick the guy that has the best day on pit road. Hopefully you pick a guy that avoids a tire rub or cautions. And we've talked about a couple of the drivers already that have been really good at Kansas, Las Vegas, and have been trending in the right direction this season. Those all should be at the top of your list. All right, so as we go a little bit more into Kansas and maybe some of the value drivers that have run well at this track recently, as I mentioned, 2311 has had a great setup at Kansas. Kurt Busch won. Bubba Wallace won. Tyler Reddick won. I know he stole the win for the most part last year, but that is Kansas. I mean, you could argue that Denny Hamlin stole his win. But if you're going to steal a win at Kansas, I know it's a volatile race, crazy restarts, cautions, all of that nonsense. All the nonsense that makes it an exciting race, to be quite honest. You still need to be a top 5 driver throughout the race. Even when when Tyler Reddick wins this race last year, that's the spring race with the fall race on. Even when Reddick wins, he had the second highest driver rating. He was running fast laps. His average running position was 5th. Does not end up in the optimal lineup, surprisingly. But again, is it a surprise to see him in terms of the fantasy scoreboard taking a back seat to Larson leading a bunch of laps and Hamlin leading a bunch of laps? Chase Elliott, who was really strong? No, it is not. Either way, 2311 has been very strong at this track. 2311 has been very fast this season. Maybe not quite as fast as JGR as a whole, but Tyler Reddick has been. Colleague has been really good at this track. Now, will that carry over to this season? I don't know. I will say that Colleague did make some gains recently. They do not look like the same colleague as before. But it is worth mentioning that they were fast last year. And we're going to see, I believe, Justin Haley pop up on here somewhere. Yeah, Haley is your value pick. Haley, average running position of 21st, finishes 21st. Not the greatest day, but still is optimal, halfway decent speed. If we look at, I thought your super colic was good. It's not bad, but let's look a little bit further. The reason why I mentioned it, here he is again in the spring race. Average running position was a little bit better of 18th. Or he finishes 18th. His average running position was 28th. But again, given the nature of this race, spins and cautions and restarts, it can work. Either way, he got the finish. Sure, maybe we'd like to see a little bit more speed. But if you look at his teammate, AJ Allmendinger, who was also optimal, his average running position was 19th, finishes 14th. So as we look at these optimal lineups, in the spring, two colored cars were optimal. In the fall, another one was optimal. We go back to 2022. Hey, wouldn't you know it? It's another optimal colored car with an average running position of 17th, finishing 19th, Justin Haley. When we look at the spring 2022 race, we do not get a colored car in this one. Too bad. So sad. But still, last three races, colored has got on the fantasy scoreboard. Something worth keeping your eye on. And maybe you boost up Haley a little bit and say that maybe Haley's a little bit comfortable. I don't know if I would go that far. But it is worth mentioning and noting. It stood out to me, so I brought it up. Next guy I want to talk about is Rick Stauss Jr. Here he is in the 22 spring race. Maybe that's too long ago for you, but I would argue that this is a racetrack where Ricky Stenhouse Jr. could run well. We know that Dover and Bristol are some of the tracks where they take rubber, and the multiple grooves that open up throughout a race may have a correlation or some similarities to dirt racing where drivers have to constantly move around, and that suits Stenhouse's style. Maybe that's reading too deep into it. But if you looked at last week before Stenhouse had his issue, he was running inside the top 20, top 15-ish, solid day for him as predicted. That team is headed in the right direction. Again, at Texas, before some issues, they were really building some speed. They are slowly improving and hitting some tracks where they can succeed. And here you can see Stenhouse. Solid finish into the 2022 spring race. Let's rewind it back. Let's see. What else do we got from Stenhouse? I think he has another optimal lineup performance. Maybe it is. 23 spring race. Finishes 12th. Average running position of 21st. You know, the average running position of 21st. Probably not the greatest. But again, unlike Dover, where you kind of finish where you're supposed to run, Kansas with the tire rubs, the restarts, pit road mayhem, mistakes, all of those things that can happen. And he was one of those mistakes in the 23 fall race, getting into the wall. But you want a guy up on the wall, getting some extra speed, Stenhouse is going to be there. He's going to be volatile. All or nothing. And again, Kansas is a race where we can chase place differential. If you can run around 20th, you can definitely take advantage of all the restart madness at the end. You can be on the lead lap and snatch seven spots at the very end. As you can see, Stenhouse getting a huge place differential boost. So I expect him to be halfway decent. And then the last I'll talk about is Trackhouse, who have decent speed. I think we pull Suarez up. His finishes at this racetrack have been solid. And again, this is a week where you could just look at finishes. Looking at driver rating and average running position is fine. It's good. It's a more telling stat for actual performance, but then when we factor in Kansas doesn't necessarily reflect actual performance. Kansas is, were you there at the end? What'd you do at the end? What happened when you went to the pay window? You know, oh, you ran well all day, but then you pooched the last restart. That hurts. So Suarez, his driver ratings probably aren't that great, but they're probably good enough to keep him in the show. His Trackhouse car was good enough to keep him in the show. And we look at his last five races, or six races, even with the fledgling track house to the modern track house, with what other than the poor spring races around a 12th place, 13th place finish. If he remains to be the value pick, could pack in some place differential, then he's going to be on the board. All right, let's talk about Dover a little bit, see if we can get some actionable information about what we learned at Dover. I'll throw the Dover optimal lineup on our screen. Hope you guys are having a good start to the week. I am. As you can see with the build, it's a strange one. Three expensive dominators. How can three people dominate a race? Three hogs. And then you get three value plays. Borderline three punts. Let's just say three punts. Triple punt at Dover. As I live and breathe. So, let's just talk about the racing first. And before that, I just want to say, man, I love racing. Love NASCAR. I love doing this. If you don't like NASCAR, why are you playing? If you don't like NASCAR, why do you put out content? If you do this stuff just to make money, whether it's playing or content, look, there's plenty of ways to make money. You guys listening, you're here because you love it. You feel the same as me. You like NASCAR. You enjoy building lineups. You have fun with it. It's like you may not always agree with NASCAR's decisions, or you might get a little riled up by a moment or two, but that washes away in the end. You love it. And I'm glad you're here. Positive vibes here. Share this with other people. You want to come to a happy place. Come join us, RaceForPrize.com, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. You don't even have to subscribe. Love for you to subscribe to the YouTube channel. But watch the videos, like the videos. Hey, it's also going to be Cinco de Mayo for this Kansas race. Huh? We got a Kansas race. We got Cinco de Mayo the same day. How do you say Kansas in Spanish? Well, it's not really a Spanish word. I looked it up, actually. Kansas, or Kanza tribe of the Sioux family that lived along a river in an area and gave it the tribal name. The name translates as South Wind People or Wind People. How fitting. How fitting. Wind People. Let's talk about arrow. Synchronicity, baby. Some people might bemoan the arrow issues that we saw last week and complain about NASCAR. Not me. Look, it's a problem. But it's a fascinating problem to break down. And like all problems, they can be solved. And it's fun to solve problems. So you can approach it of, oh, stupid arrow and be negative. Or like, huh, that's just a new challenge. Let's see how we work through this one. So we've got arrow blocking, drivers complaining about, fans are complaining about. Car hates traffic. It's a defensive car. You know, the original six was an offensive car. And then we've got the new element, which Larson brings up, is the not just rear view mirror driving, the digital mirror driving, using the digital camera to easily spot the car behind you and make blocks. And he argues, get rid of the mirror, go back to the regular mirror. It's tougher to see and it's tougher to block people. Now, this is also the guy that every year will tweet out and be outspoken about, you know, the stick guy. And all right, that's okay. Basically, there's a dude in the pits waving sticks, alerting the driver to what lines he needs to block or what lines are the fastest. Larson doesn't like those either. He says it puts too much into the team's hands. It makes it too much of a coaching sport. He wants more of drivers driving, drivers finding lines, drivers doing their thing, as opposed to just simply looking in the pits. Okay, the guy's waving the sticks like that, so I go here. Oh, he's doing that, so I just go here. It takes less out of the driver's hand, so he didn't like single sticks, so obviously he doesn't like the digital mirror. I don't think they're getting rid of the digital mirror. Bozzi is on the other end of like, hey, man, the way forward for the sport is not the way backwards. You want to improve things in life, period. You don't get rid of technology. We're not Luddites. We don't ban things. We advance through tech. So I don't know. I mean, he's right, like in a sense that if you want that driving, go get some street stocks. Go watch late models. NASCAR's got to kind of move forward. Drivers have to adapt. Digital mirrors are here to stay. You're going to have error blocking. It's going to be tough to pass in traffic. It was very tough for anyone to pass in traffic at Dover. Starting position meant a lot. Keeping that starting position, finish well, like Daniel Hemric. Decent starting position, hung on all day, had a clean day on pit road, didn't make any mistakes, gets lucky at the end, catches a break. But that's just the way this racing is going to play out. Probably could see that a little bit at Kansas as well. Air is here to stay. Blocking is here to stay. And even for the leaders, Kansas is a wide track. And we think, oh, well, you're going to be able to pass the leader at Kansas. There's enough space to get around them. Probably not. And we just go back to what Larson said. Larson, at Las Vegas, when he won, Tyler Reddick had a faster car. Tyler Reddick was running him down earlier this season. What did Larson do? Went straight to his mirror, watched his mirror, made the blocks, despite not having a faster car, won the race. Denny Hamlin last week got to the lead. Larson said, man, there's nothing I was going to be able to do. Just going to take my line away. I'm never going to be able to pass. So that is a benefit, too, when we're trying to find a hog or a dominator, that we can feel confident that a leader, once they get into clean air, can run away and start really piling up the points. But they got to get into clean air, and we need long green flag runs, which we will have some in this race. It's not going to be all madness, but I would say that there will be fewer green flag runs this week than you get at a Dover. And obviously, there's a lot less laps, but it is a situation that we got to talk about and think about. I don't know how much that really helped you. Just fun. I like NASCAR. So last fall, Kansas, wrapping up a little bit more. There were a lot of pit issues. There were a lot of tire issues. There were even more tire issues, mainly from the rubs, from any wall in the spring race. I don't see any reason why that won't continue. When you run on the wall, you rub the wall, you blow tires. There's more pit stops. You're going to have issues. I mean, even in the fall race, which didn't quite have as much volatility, there were issues of running out of tires, if that gives you a picture. And if you're running out of tires, that means a lot of pit stops. And if there's a lot of pit stops, there's a lot of opportunities to gain spots where your car wasn't really fast enough to gain. There's also a lot of opportunities where your fast car can lose spots you couldn't afford to lose. So you're going to place a high priority on pit crews, and that's why this week we will do a Dover recap of the pit stops. Look at the averages. Also, you just want to follow Bozzi on Twitter. I made a link that should get you to his article every week. And that link is, they pulled up, tinyurl.com/pitbozzi. So that's PITBOZI. I'm driving my car. I cannot write this down at the moment. Thanks, dude. I'm on a treadmill. I'm on an elliptical. I'm hanging upside down. I don't know what you're doing. tinyurl.com, tinyurl.com/pitbozzi, PITBOZI. That'll link you to his article. Or you can just follow Bozzi Tatrovich on Twitter. And I know what's going to happen. Hey, who's that guy? I'm going to get all these DMs. And hey, what was that link? Set myself up for that one. Either way, you read his article, he'll give you a breakdown of the pit stops. You can also check it out here. I've got it, racefootprize.com. And I think it's going to be worth your money to try to help you differentiate some of the drivers, especially in the mid-pack. If you're going to see a mid-pack guy rise above what you expect, he's going to need to have a good day on pit road. Those value drivers cannot afford to have bad days. We want to look at who consistently has good days, keeps himself in the game, maybe makes some gains. And they're going to be really helpful. So we're expecting a lot of pit roads situations, priorities being placed on our pit crews. And look, it's no surprise. Does Denny Hamlin have the fastest car? It's one of the fastest, and he'll admit that. But he's also always put in a position to demonstrate speed. If you have a pit crew that consistently keeps you in the top five, your car's going to be fast, folks. If you have a pit crew that's constantly burying in the field, then your car's going to look slow in dirty air. And it's not a real surprise. Hamlin's just checking every box. You can't just simply have a fast car. You can't just simply be a good driver. You need to be fast. You need a good car. You need a good pit crew. You also have to play the strategy right as well. Harry restarts. We've talked about that. And I mean, I think to illustrate that, if you look at last year, Larson, as you can see on the board, scored a lot of fantasy points, led a lot of laps. That's the Dover race. Sorry. We'll just leave the Dover race up there. But I know I'm jumping over to Kansas again, but on lap 133 at Kansas last year, Larson having a heck of a day. Actually, I'll only put up the Kansas laps to show you the breakdown of this, just to illustrate the volatility that we're about to get ourselves into, which is a little bit different than Dover. Not quite the same mayhem that you get out of Texas, but again, we know dirty air is tough. We know these cars hate to be in traffic. And although we said at the beginning, the cream rises at the top, Chase Elliott is able to work his way forward at Dover. Kyle Larson is able to work his way forward at Dover. That's not always the case. So we look at that race from last year at Kansas, and you can see on the screen all the laps, Larson leading laps, having a good old swell old time, Flintstones. And then you see on lap 132, restarts first, drops to 11th. As they fan out, as the cars side draft, if you just have a slight bobble or you just end up in the wrong spot, you plummet. And then once Larson falls into 11th on lap 134, he submerges even further, as far down as 21st in dirty air. It ain't the same game anymore. Clean air is king. Clean air is speed. It is a drug. It is nicotine. And so then he has to slowly try to grind his way out. Spoiler alert, he doesn't really grind his way out. And I could have benefited from a better pit stop here. Either way, it takes time and effort. It's late in the show. And hey, we need you to lead laps and run fast laps. Fortunately, he'd already got enough. But again, he is about back into the top 10. He finally is able to work his way forward because he's Kyle Larson. But man, that's tough. It's a tough one, man. Three starts. Any other driver? I don't think they're pulling that off. Any other car? I don't think they're pulling it off. I can see Larson and Hamlin doing it. But if you got, you know, maybe Tyler Reddick. But I think that gives you a pretty good idea. All right, real quick, let's look at our Dover optimal lineup. You might have seen some of the notes on the screen that explain how those guys got to where they got. Obviously, Hamlin, Larson, Truex ran up front all day. And if we look at our top 10 on the DFS scoreboard, from Hamlin, Larson, Truex, Elliott, Kyle Busch, Ryan Blaney, Bowman, Gibbs, Hemric, Chastain. No, I mean, Hemric's going to be the one surprised. We'll talk about that in a second. But really, I'm just going to tell you right now. Track position mattered. So he started up front. He dropped back. But he didn't drop back too far that he was still on the lead lap. And he was still hanging in there. Colic had a little bit more speed this week. Now, if it's the beginning of the race, you're rostering him. Starting 14th, you're like, well, of course this play didn't work. He's running around 19th. There's no way that that works. But there is one way that it works. So he's able to hang in there. And as we had said earlier in the week, people pretty much finish about where they run. And that is typically the case. And where he should have probably finished is 19th, which is a good day for Colic. But what he does is he runs long and catches the caution. That vaults him into the top 10 in track position. As we know, clean air was king. And he just stays up there, not because he had a better race car, was a better driver. It's just incredibly hard to pass. And so running long, catching the caution at the end has a terrific effect. Now, he was able to do that because he had good starting position, was able to stay in the top 20, and he was in a position to take that chance, whereas some of the drivers, most of the drivers in the back really couldn't because they were already one, two laps down. Now, as for the rest of our top 10, they all had top 10 driver ratings for the most part. Other than the Elliott hot rod, the Larson hot rod, the Truex hot rod, Bush was starting up front. Blaney was starting up front. Bowman was starting towards the front. Gibbs a little further back. Chastain. Now, I mean, those are the drivers. When we said who's the guys that could make gains at this track, given the correlations and the data that we're looking at, it was exactly those drivers. If anyone in the field was able to pass, Truex has demonstrated this season and in the past he can do it. Larson, Elliott as well, Chastain. All the data suggested that they could get through. The rest of the guys had track position and did their thing. We slide down. We got Suarez just having a decent day as expected. Didn't have track position. Was able to manage a solid finish. Gregson, I'm not going to overreact. Again, clean air was king. Have a clean day on pit road and then just go out there and aero block every single person on the track. He got a lot of heat from Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch is more than likely doing the same thing. I'm not going to overreact. Oh, wow, this Stewart has cars faster than I'm not going to react that way. Oh, wow, Gregson's getting better performance than the other SHR. I'm not going to react. My big takeaway is he had cleaner air. He had track position. You could not pass. If he started 25th, he would have finished around 20th. Obviously, I can't prove that. But that's where I stand. Let's look at the rest of our optimal lineup. Corey LaJoie, this is a typical Dover optimal performance. You finish where you run. You score enough fantasy points. Him running long really benefits his score. Justin Haley, we just needed savings. And he was the best of the bust. Not really a bust. But he also gets some attrition points from the cars wrecking out. Boom, boom, boom. And then he runs long and gets a spot or two by running a little bit longer. Similar to Hemric, but Haley was not on the lead lap, so he couldn't make tremendous gains, but he was able to gain over the other value picks, making him the better option than Zane Smith. There's your optimal breakdown. And quick speed review, you say? Yeah, we'll do a speed review. Long pod. There's a sip on some Gatorade on the treadmill. Over laps. I don't really need to go over the speed that Hamlin, Larson, Truex had. They had it. 1, 2, 3 in terms of top 5 laps. Check. Kyle Busch. You might say we are overreacting to did they find speed? Did they figure it out? I don't know. If Kyle Busch starts 20th at Kansas, I don't really believe he's going to be a hot rod. Now, if he starts 20th, again, because of the nature of the racing, he can still get into the top 5 at the end. But I would argue that Busch just benefited from clean air. If Noah Gregson has a top 10 car and I'm not overreacting, then I'm not going to overreact to Kyle Busch. Chase Elliott drove through the field. That's speed. Gregson, as for mentioned, I think that's just a clean air situation, running clean. Give the kid credit, he's running well. Blaney, maybe clean air boosted him a little bit, but he has checked the box at Dover recently. There is plenty of speed in this car. Bowman, you're going to have to address, was this just the fact that it's Dover and he's great at Dover, and now he turns back into the pumpkin or the 15th place driver that he's been for most of the season? Hemric, we've already discussed. It's about 20th place race car. We'll get into that in a second. Actually, let's do a little bit more in conjunction as we talk about it. I will also mention, where's Ross Chastain? Although he didn't finish that well, 12th, did make some gains, was able to make some passes. Probably would have liked to see a little bit more speed. But again, it was the Hamlin, Larson, Truex day, Elliott day. Everybody can't be a winner. Not the worst day for Trackhouse. I think there's still plenty of speed in this car, and this could be a big week for them. The ones that I think that stand out the most at the moment are the RFK rides. Kozlowski, no speed. I mean, just look at his laps. Not going anywhere. Now, yes, before the issues, but still, before the issues, maybe, you know, you give him a full 400 laps and it's a different story. I will entertain that. But from the laps before the issues, the 13th place race car. Top 15, maybe top 10. Now, that doesn't mean write them off. If we say, let's be charitable and say, that's a top 10 car. Top 10 car will be fast enough at Kansas, given the nature of racing. But overall, if we're slotting the teams, RFK, looking at Texas, looking at Dover, the speed's not there. And Buescher, in a similar situation, did not really show us much in terms of laps. I mean, like, it's almost like if we take where Brad Keselowski left off and had his issue, and we say, oh, what does teammate do for the rest of the race? You could argue dirty air, whatever. It's not a Chase Elliott type car. It's not a Kyle Larson type car. He's not going anywhere. And that's after a poor Texas race. Average running position, 15.5. Just never really goes anywhere. He's right there in that Joey Logano category at the moment. One of the guys on the Ascent we'll talk about in a second, Austin Cindric. Josh Berry, before his issue at Texas, had a top 15 car. Goes to Dover, 15.5 average running position. They're trending in the right direction. They're making slight gains. You got to get top 15s before you can get top 10s, before you can get top 5s. It'll probably take all season to be a top 10 consistently. But they are finding speed. The team is growing together, and it will be interesting to watch. Weeks ago, we didn't really want anything to do with Barry. Now he's firmly in place. He's qualifying well, which makes it hard to roster him. But then again, it's going to make him an interesting GPP to play. Extra P there for me. Stenhouse, I already mentioned, making some speed gains. I know the race didn't work out for Stenhouse. But look, before his issue, his average running position was 10.8. There is speed in this car. He's got to avoid the issues. But like Barry, they're making gains. Briscoe took a step back after a pretty solid Texas race. Surviving, now I don't know if you want to read too much into Texas because of the craziness, but you could say the step back is just that Briscoe is not good at Dover. His team's always struggled at Dover, in his words, so maybe we don't want to overreact to an average running position of 18.4. That's going to be up to you. Clearly, SHR looking like 15th to 20th place cars, sometimes a little bit better, sometimes better in clean air with Gregson. And Priest is just all over the place with his issues. Really challenging. Hard to see him remaining with this team. Hard to see this team remaining next year. May not be necessarily Priest gets fired. It's just that the team doesn't exist. Charters are sold. And if you're looking to sell, it's probably the right opportunity. The only reason we probably haven't sold the charter yet is because the charter agreement hasn't been agreed upon. I'm sure that as soon as they get an agreement and say, all right, we're going to keep the charters, Tony's going to start wheeling and dealing. And Priest will be out. Briscoe's on the final year of his contract. He could be out. I could easily see them staying with Gregson. There's a lot of potential there. He's got a very good sponsorship relationship. So you keep him. You're obviously not getting rid of Roddy Childers. I don't know if Barry is a mainstay. If you switch Briscoe over there, there's going to be a lot of interesting conversations to be had. I don't know what his contract is. Cindric. Yes, that's right. We've got to start talking about Austin Cindric. Now, one of the things you'll see when we get into the pit stop data video, his pit crew's fast. He's starting to put together some consistently good races. Good Texas, 17.6 average running position, didn't make any mistakes, didn't really show any speed, but he put himself in a position that maybe he could make some gains. That's really what we want, especially if we're going to get super cheap Cindric moving forward. Really lean on that pit crew. Has a solid day on pit road at Kansas, runs in the top 20 where he's supposed to, grabs some place differential at the very end. I haven't really considered Cindric much this year. But now that he's showing a little bit more speed and consistency, avoiding mistakes, and in theory, if you run a little bit closer to the front, you're going to deal with less squirrels, as they say now a lot, right? They're always like messing around with the squirrels. When did that become a thing to talk about? Let's talk about the Battle of the Backpack. Very similar to the Truck Series now. The Cup Series has a backpack. The Xfinity has, you know, your top tier, and then kind of secondary mid-tier in the teens. And there's a mid-pack, and then there's a deep backpack. The Truck Series has a top tier, 1 to 20-ish, and then a backpack. I would argue the Cup Series is probably the same. You got your top 20, who can all hang on the lead lap, battle it. The cars are pretty similar. They're all sharing data. They all know what each other does. They all know what to do. Very hard to differentiate. But in the backpack, the cars are clearly markedly slower, less experienced, lower funded. And so if we were to look at that backpack, although he wasn't in the race, we will go with the Jones car, which I've talked about before. It's probably a 20th place car. But Erik Jones, being maybe one of the most underrated drivers, guy that I don't necessarily love or like or anything, but a guy that runs better than his equipment, an exceptional driver who really does deserve more credit than he gets, absolutely wheels the Legacy Motor Club car beyond its potential every week. And he can get that 20th place car to the top 15 with ease. Heim is probably about a 25th place race car, which is really nothing to be sad about. He pits on lap 316. Then we get that caution that elevates a couple guys who run long. Right? You see, Justin Haley ran a little bit longer, so he gained some spots in that situation. Heim just pit a little early, and that hurt his finishing position. Could have easily been a 21st place race car. So I would argue at the top of the backpack is the Jones car, with a lot of potential with Jones in the car. Even with Heim, it's not terrible. Corey LaJoie, next on our list, put together two solid races in a row, running 21st-ish at Texas, running 21st, 21.6 at Dover. They're kind of the next team that I would slot into that backpack. Hosover probably a step behind him. Next on our list are the Colic cars, which could be higher or lower because of the recent surge. AJ Allmendinger and Cleaner Air had a tremendous race, finishing 13th. Daniel Hemric got a huge finish, but still was running inside the top 20 all day. So you could make an argument that below Jones, you could slot in the Hemric cars. And even Ty Dillon, given all the craziness at Texas, had a solid race. Just very hard to read. Their data is very race dependent at the moment. But with all those different variables, at least we can say that Colic is producing results at the moment, and that we could say that they are at the top of the mid-pack with Jones. And they're not a team that we can ignore at Kansas, not a team we can ignore at a race where there could be a lot of gains made through attrition, a lot of gains made on pit road. Next on our list would be John Hunter Nemechek with Legacy. And Nemechek is starting to remind me a lot of old Todd Gilliland. Todd Gilliland's probably 20th, and we could throw him into this conversation as well. I would say Jones, Colic, and then probably Todd. You could move Colic around wherever you want. Todd and LaJoie, I think, are about the same spot. 21st, 20th place race cars. And Gilliland, earlier in his career, not that long ago, more of a 25th place driver, and that's where I think John Hunter Nemechek is at the moment. This team has a lot of room for growth, but you know, you listen to interviews with Jimmy Johnson every week, and it doesn't seem like they are growing or making any of the gains that they need to make. And so I believe that old JHN is going to remain a 25th place car for a while when we're looking at the backpack. Now, as we slide down the backpack, we get into some really more rough drivers that are attrition plays, that just survive, try to make not too many mistakes. As you can see illustrated on your screen in the Dover race, this backpack of Hosover, Haley, Smith, Heim, Burton, they all finished three laps down. Now, we know Haley ended up in the optimal lineup. Three laps down. And we see this in the truck series where it's like, oh man, you're not on the lead lap. Well, it doesn't matter because your job, Haley, Smith, Heim, Burton, is not to score 50 fantasy points. Your job is to be the best play amongst your peers. There's four cars, three laps down. Can you be the best of those? Can you get maximized finishing position and place differential? And that's what's the deciding factor. So a lot of times we look at a value play across the entire pool. Sometimes it would make more sense when you're picking that punt to say which punt amongst the punts, because it will come down to the end of the race and who can just be the best guy three laps down. Haley ended up being that option, finishing 23rd, just ahead of Zane Smith. And give or take, that's kind of where I would bounce him around. Rick Ware versus the tertiary Spire car. That being said, Zane Smith has put together two good races at Texas and Dover. Haley's been halfway consistent throughout the season. Again, though, 23rd and 24th are boosted finishes. They're around 28th place cars. They need some boost. They need some help just to get there. They need a little bit of an additional boost. Burton, to me, is just dead in the water. So if I was ranking, I can't really separate Zane and Haley on a given weekend. I think I tend to lean a little more Haley, but Zane can be inflated by, you know, practice or whatever. But I don't know. And then Kaz is just, you know, your straight attrition play if he gives you more savings. But typically we're not getting a great discount on Kaz. And so he can be left out of the conversation because you can pay $100 more and get much more upside with Haley and Smith. If they were to take Kaz's salary and drop it down to the BJ McLeod range or just halfway there, then Kaz would start to be somebody we would have to consider every week. DraftKings so far has been reluctant to do that. And, you know, it is better than a BJ car. This is basically BJ McLeod with a better car. If we could get a BJ price, sounds strange to say, on Kaz Grala, then he would start to be in this conversation, even though he doesn't have the finishing position potential, but the savings really would open up some of those expensive drivers at the top. That's going to do it. I think we covered everything we need to know. Kansas, Dover, a little bit of aero talk. Fun times here at the Fantasy NASCAR Podcast, brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com. Go to the website, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, $30, give you all the May sheets. We're going to have an awesome month of May. This is on the racing calendar, a highlight of my year, every year. I'm pumped. You're pumped. We love this stuff. It's good to be a part of a community where we just love and we're happy and we're positive and we're not moaning and complaining. And I think that's one of the reasons why people come over to this channel. Hey, I don't want to spend my time listening to complaining and whining. This is my free time. This is my YouTube time. This is my relaxing moment in the car on the treadmill. Let's be positive. Happy vibes. Feel good. Get excited about NASCAR. We got a Saturday night Kansas truck race, which will be absolutely awesome. Trust me. We'll talk about that in the Kansas Truck Race podcast. It'll be exciting. It'll be wild. You got Cinco de Mayo. And even if you want, you can watch the F1 Miami race. How about that? Miami de Mayo. That should be kind of fun. Friday night, you got some dirt racing. It's also going to be taking place in Kansas with High Limit. Larson will be out there. See, probably several cup guys. And we saw Chastain running the dirt race last week near Dover. It's fun times. That High Limit circuit's awesome. Basically traveling around. They're like dolphins following a battleship. Wherever the battleship ports, they follow along to, and High Limit unloads. It's pretty cool, man. It's a great idea. Love what they've got going on. You got all kinds of sports going on. Everything is awesome. Oh, yeah, and not to mention the Kentucky Derby. I think it's a 6:57 p.m. post. There you go. Find myself always looking that up. Like, what time is the actual race? 6:57. You may want to pace yourself, dude. Nah. First real post at 10:30. That's when I start. That's when this horse leaves the gate. All right, well, if your horse leaves the gate at 10:30, You better be able to last till 6:57. That's a lot of mint juleps, bro. It's a lot of hot browns. I just get a couple hot browns. That'll keep me going. If you haven't, hot brown is the old Browns of famous Louisville hotel. Great place to stay. Too expensive, but sometimes you got to spend some money and live life. Fancy, but they invented the hot brown. It's the traditional Kentucky Derby sandwich. You can make it on your own. Make one. Make a mint julep. You don't have to eat it or drink it. I don't say you have to drink it. But embrace the Derby. I mean, you even got 10:30 a.m. on Friday. The Oaks will begin. So you got the Oaks to watch. Get your app out. Get some Derby bets in. Get a fancy hat. Dress up. What a weekend this will be. Who's excited? I'm excited. Great times. Lie. And you don't even have to buy like expensive whiskey. You don't have to get Old Forester. Get some cheap stuff. Save some money. And when you save that money, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, $30. Get the Mickey D's. Diapers and daycare to help out your old pal. Race for the prize. Blessed to have you guys here. Love you guys. Thanks for staying for that last little thing that was. Trip to life, fantastic.